We Unitarians love this world. For the most part, if I dare say, make a gross generalization, we love life. So I take a little risk today in speaking about not so much the positive side of life, but the darker side. Our theme this month is journeys. The journey of our lives cannot be predicted. We, of course, hope that our lives are blessed with health and friendship and love and meaning. For some, the path has noble goals: to bring more justice to the world, to relieve the suffering of others, to heal a broken world. For others, life is seen as an adventure, a new vista around each corner, a new challenge, a new discovery every day. For others, life is a creative journey, the making, designing, crafting, building, and transforming of something into something else. For others, life is very simple and wondrous, cooking and gardening and creating friendships and families. And for some, the journey can only be about survival. Simply getting through a day is a victory of endurance and courage. These long sweeps of a life are just generalizations. For the most part, our paths are ever changing. One day we're dancing, the next day we're lost. Ecclesiastes writes, "To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under heaven." Life takes us on a journey that we cannot always control. It is unpredictable. It's like walking through the downtown east side of Vancouver. You can walk along Water Street and see shops filled with busy people drinking delicious coffees and designer clothing shops and art galleries for tourists enjoying a day off from their cruise. And then you turn the corner on Abbott Street and you may bump into a sleeping body and enter a world of intense poverty, mental illness, drug addiction, desperate and courageous people surviving lives of deep pain. Both these realities can be part of our lives. Metaphorically, we too turn a corner in our lives. We wake up one morning and not know how to get out of bed because of hopelessness that descends like a heavy blanket on us. Or perhaps we get a phone call from the doctor telling us that the tests are not good, which happened to a friend of mine just a few days ago. As I said, the journey is unpredictable. The story of Persephone is a little bit like this. Persephone was the daughter of Demeter, the Greek goddess of the harvest. Her father was Zeus. Persephone had an idyllic childhood, enjoying nature and playing with her stepsisters Athena and Aphrodite. She grew into a young woman, open, innocent, honest, loving, trusting. And then she attracted the attention of Hades, the god of the underworld. One bright and sunny day, Persephone was picking flowers in the meadow, as the story goes, when all of a sudden the ground beneath her opened up, and Hades reached up from the dark underground and snatched Persephone out of the daylight world. You know, we're unfortunate indeed if in our lives we have not had a moment when a person or an event has grabbed us out of the blue, yanked us out of that regular routine and habits, and we find ourselves in a completely different and perhaps unknown world. Persephone's life went from a world of light to a world of darkness. Now, I try not to judge light and darkness as being one good and the other bad. I try to see them as simply being different. It's hard, though, not always possible, because the dark places in our lives are often associated with pain, or grief, fear, and we tend to think of these experiences as bad. Though I would suggest they aren't. Now, I imagine that from those first moments of shock, Persephone was terrified of this unknown world of darkness. You can imagine that everything she was used to seeing, the vibrant colors and the complex shapes of the above-ground world, were gone. Everything she was used to feeling, the comfort and the love and support of her family and friends, gone. In these moments, the challenges in our lives, whether expected or unexpected, it's how we respond to them that forms our characters, that creates us. And how, and the how of how we respond is as unique and as individual as every single person sitting here. In the Soul Matters class last week, the small groups that meet once a month to talk about our themes, our monthly themes, we were talking about just this. How do you respond, for example, when you stub your toe? Do you stub your toe and then add to the pain of that stubbed toe all the other pains of your life? Making a great long list of pains and convincing yourself that life really, truly is a painful and horrible journey. Do you stub your toe and feel the pain and then curse the person who put the chair in the wrong place and blame people for creating this pain in your life? Do you curse yourself for being so stupid to have stubbed your toe and use this evidence then to support that inner judge inside of you that you really are and will forever be as stupid and as clumsy as you really are? Or do you simply feel the pain? Be present to it. Let it just be pain. Show yourself a little kindness, a little compassion. Comfort yourself. And when the pain is gone, move on. Now, stubbing your toe is a pretty tiny bump in the road of your life. But it's still interesting to reflect on how you respond to the small pains before we tackle the bigger ones. When Persephone's whole world changed, how did she react? What choices did she have? Well, she could have become miserable and blame Hades for kidnapping her, blame her parents for not protecting her. She could hate herself for being so innocent and gullible and not alert. She could pine for what it used to be. She could hide and hope that someone would rescue her. Or she could open up to this new world. Pema Chodron, the Buddhist teacher and author of many books such as When Things Fall Apart, said this: "The spiritual journey involves going beyond hope and fear, stepping into unknown territory, and continually moving forward." That's a huge challenge. Yet if you choose to walk the path of spiritual deepening, and or you could name it the path of wisdom or growth, then it is a challenge you take up. Taking the path of wisdom means that when you enter that dark underworld, those places that scare you, one of the first things you do is say, here I am. I'm in the dark. I'm in pain. My heart is breaking. I'm scared. Naming that place and being present to it is one of those first steps on the path of wisdom. Psychologists may say that in the naming of your experience, you're objectifying that experience and giving yourself a little distance from it, taking some control back. It's empowering to do that. But why does Pema Chodron say that the spiritual journey involves going beyond hope? Surely in the darkness, we need hope that the light will return. Surely we need to cling to that hope, like the lifesaver thrown out to the drowning man. Now, the spiritual journey is different from the regular life journey of birth and living and death. Inherent in that spiritual journey, I believe, is a desire for growth, a desire for knowledge, a desire for wisdom. It's about discovery, finding new eyes to see new truths, and about keeping our hearts open. Ultimately, the spiritual journey, the wisdom path, is about transformation. On this journey, especially when we find ourselves in that dark and unknown territory, we have the opportunity to experience that undiscovered land. Now, this may not be for everyone. It may not be of interest or even desired, but if it is, then the darkness you have entered into this unknown territory lies beyond fear and hope. T.S. Eliot says in the Four Quartets, I said to my soul, be still and wait without hope. For hope would be hope for the wrong thing. You see, we can only hope for something that we already know. We can only attach our hope to a love that we've known, to the health that we've known, or a world that is familiar to us. And that direction may not be part of your future. Your path may not be taking you back to what you have known. Sometimes the only choice you really have is to move forward from where you are. So in the darkness, in that unknown territory, you wait. Not clinging to fear, not clinging to hope even, but with courage and patience, you wait. You wait until you can see that darkness fully, allowing your emotions to pierce your heart. This is the way of compassion, according to Buddhist teaching. The path of cultivating bravery and kind-heartedness. And then you look around the place that you're in. In the dark hole in the road or the underground place, you take stock. Who or what is in this place with me? Deep in that underground world, Persephone encountered the lord of the underworld, the god Hades. In the darkness, to her surprise, she discovered a love that she had never known exist before. And the experience transformed her both into a woman and into Hades' queen. She could have refused him. She could have refused his world and But this would have only created misery, I suggest. Perhaps she might have hardened her heart and even hated him, blamed him. But she didn't. She embraced that underground experience and discovered a love that transformed. Well, meanwhile, in the world above ground, in the light, negotiations were underway between Persephone's mother, Demeter, and her father, Zeus. Demeter, outraged that Zeus had allowed his daughter to be taken by Hades, stopped the seasons by withholding her blessings from the earth. So drought and famine ensued. And Zeus relented and sent Hermes to bring Zeus's daughter back. But Persephone, she'd grown fond of Hades. And when he offered her a pomegranate, knowing full well that if she ate anything underground, she would have to return to the world of darkness, she ate its seeds. And so each year, for the 4 months that we call winter, Persephone returns to Hades in the darkness that she had come to value and love. Our lives are also like those seasons. In our life journey, we too have times of darkness and light, times of winter and times of spring, times of barrenness and times of fulfillment, times of fear and times of love, times of sickness and times of health. We just need to remember that in the times of darkness, that though darkness is simply just darkness, grief is part of life, and so is being lost and afraid. These experiences are not bad or dangerous in themselves, and may in fact be opportunities for discovering greater compassion and an unknown love, both for yourself and for your fellow travelers on the path. It's part of our human journey. I'm ending with the words of T.S. Eliot. I said to my soul, be still and wait without hope, for hope would be hope for the wrong thing. Wait without love, for love would be love of the wrong thing. There is yet faith. But the faith and the love are all in the waiting. Wait without thought, for you're not ready for thought. So the darkness shall be the light, and the stillness the dancing. And so we dance and we sing, and life goes on.